We're in part two, Hebrews 2, verses 4 to 9, we're going to look at. Is the screen, can you see the screen?
Yeah.
Okay. I kept the same subtitle, "We ought to give the more earnest heed." It seems to be the highlight of this chapter, and very important that we recognize who he's talking to. Of course, he's talking to the elect, to those who have been given the mind of Christ and have to continue to fight a good fight of faith with that mind, knowing that we're in a life and death struggle that God knows how to deliver us through. So that's what we're going to look at, verses 4 to 9 and chapter 2. Pardon me. God also bearing them witness. And if you recall, Aaron's study was the study that Larry had given on the gifts and the operations and ministries within the body of Christ. So I just found it really amazing that the timing, God's timing for that study, and just the things that he had put in my heart to write about, to bear witness to the importance of this subject, because it really is the meat and potatoes of who we are as the body of Christ and how Christ is working within us and in our midst. God also bearing them witness, who? The body of Christ, both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. That's both, you know, in type and shadow in the old covenant and in the reality of what Christ has done for us and is doing for us. For unto the angels has he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak, but one in a certain place testified, saying, "What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that you visit him?" And that's the key here, because when you're being visited, you're being judged. When God is mindful of us, he's mindful of us through Christ, with the mind of Christ. And he resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the lowly, unto those who he's actually chastening and scourging and working with through this life. You made him a little lower than the angels, speaking of Christ. You crowned him with glory and honor and did set him over the works of thy hands. And we know that's what God intends to do with the body of Christ as well. You have put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, under Christ, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, because we know all men will be saved and God will be all in all. But what do we see? We see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And of course, we must immediately, and we do, by God's mercy, understand that we have to experience that too. We have to fill up what's behind of his afflictions and taste death for every man, die daily. God is bearing witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will, according to the counsel of his own will, giving those gifts to those who were predestined to overcome in this age. And of course, he's giving that to the church, to the body of Christ. And we're learning how those gifts work together within the body and benefit us as we learn to operate in the measure of faith that God gives us, recognize who we are, and be grateful and esteem each other better. Whether your perception is that you're the eye or you're the foot or whatever, everything is needed, as we know, and everything is important, because it's all working together according to the counsel of God's will and for the good, for those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. So it goes on to say, according, that's his purpose, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. God has purposed that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. For we are his workmanship. That is what his workmanship is accomplishing. That holiness, that mind that is free from guilt, washed and sprinkled by the blood of the Lamb. That's the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. The bride says, it says in Revelation, she would be made ready. She would be made ready means our conscience would be cleared. We would come to understand the enormity of God's love and the process that we're going through together through Jesus Christ. Pardon me. That overcoming in the life of the elect needed to be preceded by Jesus, who by the grace of God should taste death for every man. And now we are tasting death as he did, filling up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. As we die daily together as a many-membered one body of Christ, who are raised in earnest today, together today, and will be raised to the fullness of that glory as Christ was in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye. It is because God is mindful of his elect today, the apple of his eye, who he is being rich toward in mercy today, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, that we can be quickened together with Christ. By grace are you saved, as he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. These diverse gifts, administrations, and operations from God spoken of in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 10, are miraculous and detail for us how the manifold wisdom of God is made manifest and known through the church, which is what Ephesians 3:10 says. These diverse gifts, administrations, and operations from God are given so that we can learn to give the more earnest heed in this life as we ought. So that's being that watchman, being that witness. It's to the glory of God. It's not, God doesn't give these gifts so that we can glory in them, but so that we can help each other and glorify God by ministering to one another. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So if God is determined to do something, it's going to happen. If he's determined that we have these gifts and we're going to be even given the increase, he's determined that as well. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all. And of course, that's what brings about the all in all at the end of the day, when everything's said and done. God will be all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit will. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and the self-same Spirit, as we said earlier, that is where the liberty comes, where Christ's Spirit is. This is all for the purpose of bringing us to a place of liberty. And he divides that to every man severally as he wills, as he wills, as he will, rather. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. He works all of those gifts and those ministries exactly as he wants, as he builds the temple and makes the bride ready through those specific functions in the body. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So also is the Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And of course, that's what the Lord is breaking down in our hearts. He's making us realize the singleness that's in Christ, not the simplicity, the singleness, the oneness. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? So if everyone was a teacher, well, you know, where would be the listening? We have to have someone to listen to, and we have to have someone to evangelize, and someone to, and these are very interchangeable things as the Lord moves and gives different functions for different seasons and for different reasons. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. He's the builder, and he has given us apostles who are builders. He's given them that ability to build and lay a foundation. And the list goes down, which we'll look at. And that's all of the Lord. God is conducting that for the growth of the temple, for the building of the body of Christ. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. The scripture says in Genesis, no man ever yet hated his own body. Physically, that's true, unless there's something mentally wrong with us. We are not going to injure our body. We take care of it. We wash it and clean it and eat. Well, that's how we feel about each other. We suffer together and we rejoice together. So we're many members, but we're one body, and we're intimately connected through that spirit that we know we have all been blessed to receive through Jesus Christ. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So we're sensitive to all of the pain going on in this body because it's affecting us. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. So even that, the tempering of the body, everything is put together exactly as he wants to gain the exact results that he's predetermined from the foundation of the world. That there should be, to what end? That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. 1 Peter 4:10, as every man has received a gift, even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So the manifold wisdom of God is known through the church. The manifold grace of God, as it's described here in 1 Peter. If any man, the favor of God, but also we know it's God's grace too that works, because we are examining ourselves and we're listening and we're trying the spirits and we're growing and we're being judged through the word. We're being washed by it. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we give honor to him. There's another scripture that says, and it was mentioned in Aaron's study, that Larry had written down, that we acknowledge these are the commandments of God. If anyone seems to be, you know, religious, they believe in God, okay. We don't want to be a white and sepulcher. We want to have inwardly be convinced and believe these are the commandments of God. This is what God's command us to do. And we know if we obey God, let God be true and every man a liar, we'll be blessed and we'll be kept healthy. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto me. Now, I read this for the first time a little bit unto you. I read it the first time a little bit differently. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. That glory is that ability to be obedient, to overcome. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. So that's what we're rejoicing in, the fact that God is cleansing us. He is preparing us. And you notice how it says, actually, we'll go down a little further here. The context of rejoicing, spoken of in 1 Peter 4:13, is this: inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, because it takes that communion of the body and blood of Christ, that trying of our faith, that suffering, along with all the gifts given that are of the self-same spirit that we read of, to make us a unified and healthy body of Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? We can overcome when God gives us the power to do so, as we're strengthened to continue to endure the suffering, the persecutions, and the false accusations that we are experiencing within with the people of God, through a process that is more valuable than all the riches of this world, as Moses prophesied, with minds that are armed with the suffering of Christ and knowing there's nothing that can separate us from his love, and that there's nothing to be compared to what God has set before those who love him in this age. We have every reason to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, trusting that God will finish what he has started in us through Christ, as we look to the joy that has been set before us, which Hebrews 12 talks about that. The joy set before us, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, all doing the same thing, all looking toward the joy that's been set before us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So it's a very important point to have that vision and to look to the joy set before us, which is Christ, to see him as he is that day, to be face to face with our Lord, to know that he's given us the power to overcome and to endure unto the end. So that we don't grow weary in well-doing. For in due season, as God's kind of first fruits who have their season, we will reap if we faint not. Where no vision is, people perish. And so by looking to Christ in all things, in all things, we will gain vision so that we don't grow weary in well-doing and don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, where God provides that vision through the body of Christ. And so, you know, we're looking to Christ, but we're looking to Christ in each other, and that vision is there. Where there is no vision, the people perish spiritually, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. And I often think of Lot's wife, you know, when you read that, you think, well, she was on this path. And of course, the Lord caused that. But Christ said to his disciples, remember Lot's wife, because he's telling us that she represents the church. She represents where we were, that we're not to look back at. We're to keep pressing forward despite what's going on around us. And that takes a miracle, of course. Yea, doubtless, in Philippians 3:8, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, through whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. In Matthew 19:27, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all. Exactly the same concept here. And followed you. What shall we have therefore? And this is Christ's answer to Peter. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me, not everyone, but those who have followed him, and no one comes to the Son unless the Father drags us to him. In the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. So God has set the stage for the world to see who is it and what has he caused us to do that's so important. What's the big message for the rest of the world? Well, this is it right here. The value, suffering with the people of God, considering that more value than anything in Egypt, which is just a symbol for the world, anything. Nothing should be put above Christ, nothing. But money that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And that's, of course, that's a delineator too. That's telling us who that is. It's speaking of the elect, those who were predetermined to be those first fruits. So there's so much in that one section. That was Christ's answer to Peter, and it's predicated on being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is what Philippians 3:9 says, and be found in him, the next verse, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And here's a verse with Moses, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And what is that reward? Well, what we just read, maybe in his mind it wasn't this, but this is what the reward is, most definitely, for the elect. By faith, and we know what it says about faith, whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. By faith, and this is type and shadow faith, that's what we have to always remember. They prophesied not unto themselves, but unto us, meaning their actions and their lives and all that they went through was to typify for us the patience and faith of the saints and the miracle of how God can take us through anything, as he did these prophets of old. By faith, he forsook Egypt, and that's the only way we're going to forsake all the sins of this world and be willing to give up everything for Christ by faith. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, meaning not fearing Satan, not fearing what men can do to our flesh, not being afraid ultimately, but realizing, not being like Peter who said, I'll never deny you. That's just being brave in your flesh again, but rather saying, I can endure all things through Christ. I will overcome through Jesus Christ. For he endured, of course, we endure all things through Christ, as seeing him who is invisible. And that's exactly what we're doing. And to get back to the point of the study, we're doing that through those administrations, through the church. God has given us this church for that vision, for that strength to help us to overcome. That's the reason we come together often and not forsake the assembly, because we need to encourage each other. 1 Peter 4, verses 1 and 2, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise. Why? Because we can't endure, but because we can. With the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. And that is, of course, why we rejoice, once we overcome and we see this process happening and unfolding, we rejoice in our sufferings for you, for each other, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men. Going back to Philippians 3:9, which is of the law, being subject to those carnal laws in the flesh, but to the will of God, which is through the faith of Christ. So it all comes back to this gift, this blessing we've been called unto through Jesus Christ, the faith and the blessing that he's given the elect. In Romans 8:35 down to 39, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? No, I've commented, these things actually approve us in the Lord and make it possible for his power to rest upon us. 2 Corinthians, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Well, God has to weaken us in order to make his strength perfect through us. Even though we are infinitely weak in comparison to God, we don't know that until God really humbles us. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. James 4:6. But he gives more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. These are the very things that God uses to bring about the dying daily, killed all day long process. The tribulations, the distress, the persecutions, the famine, nakedness, peril, and sword. Nay, in all these things that we just mentioned, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He says we can drink the cup, and he says these things are necessary, and we can go through it together, though, with the Spirit of God ministering to us, strengthening us, holding us up, reassuring us, and blessing us as we come together and as we help each other in every way we can. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That, of course, is what we pray. We can be convinced of that. That sounds a lot to me like the ark, the covenant, the dimensions, the length, the height, the width that we are abiding within through Jesus Christ as we're given dominion over the powers and principalities, the beasts within us. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And of course, always remembering that who are we? Well, we're the weak of the world. God just says, I'm going to do it this way because this way glorifies me. Not bringing in the strong, bring in the weak and bring in those who are infirm and broken. And of course, he causes that. He caused the whole life of the prodigal son to be where it was, and we know that. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let us do good unto all. And I mean, it's implied, it's all men. Last week we looked at how we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And this week we'll focus on how that will be made possible through Jesus Christ and his body. That is a living sacrifice for that very purpose of taking care of one another as we bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ till we all come in the unity of the faith that we just mentioned. And our first, how many verses? There's five, I think. six verses, verse 4, Hebrews 2:4. God also bearing them witness, and we'll look at that word, bearing witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Now, as I said, there were gifts, type and shadow gifts in the Old Covenant, but then when Christ came, he brought that whole train of gifts that were given to the body of Christ. This word, bearing them witness, is accompanied with both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will, that is being accomplished through the church, through the witness of Christ in his body, which is the church, all things that we're very familiar with. You are witnesses of these things. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. And we know that is a very significant number. And it is the second half of Christ's ministry. It is what we must go through to fill up what's behind of the afflictions of Christ, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The manifold knowledge that produces faith for the hearer is then tried in the fire as God gives this increase that matures his children. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And if you remember those words, that glory and honor, they're spoken of about Christ, but he's giving us that through Christ. The Father is sharing that glory through Jesus Christ. If we suffer with him, we will reign with him. We will be kings and priests. As we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, bearing one another's burdens through this communion of the body and blood of Christ with the saints of God. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. This is the part I was trying to remember. Did it happen unto you alone? That's the question I'm asking. Yes, it feels that way in your flesh, and I know that, and I'm not trying to make light of anyone's affliction, because it's very difficult when you have to be on a cross, and that's part of the struggle. You do feel alone. You feel like your flesh is the only flesh, and it's very, very hard. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ, notice the S there, sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. When you start to realize you're connected to the body of Christ, grafted in through that suffering, and come to that point of confidence that nothing can separate you, and you know you've had everything thrown at you but the kitchen sink, and God's allowed it, but he's also kept you strong through it, and he's given you boldness, and he's held you up, and he's made you realize that he's not going to let anyone separate you from his love. Well, that's when true rejoicing, deep rejoicing comes about. And that's what we want for each other. We want to just completely reassure each other of the mercy and the faithfulness of God. And we've witnessed it over and over through the body of Christ, throughout all of our time in within the body of Christ. So here's the point. Whether one member suffer, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Don't think it strange. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. So you notice the two words, you have suffering in 1 Peter 4:12. Think it not strange concerning the trial, the suffering, and then rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering. So whether one suffer, all members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. We really affect each other with everything the Lord's putting us through as a body of Christ. And this is what that word, just look at some of these key words for the word witness. Testify, jointly, united in adding, evidence, also bear witness. And then the breakdown of that, G4862 and G1957. There's the word denoting union, with or together. we are going through these things together. And then the next part, G, 1957. Corroborate and testify. It's just another word for witness. The witness of Christ in this earth through his body. The body of Christ that's being cleansed and put through the trials and the afflictions and the persecutions and tribulations for each other's sake, but for the world's sake. We know ultimately this is how God is preparing the bride and demonstrating the strength of his Spirit and the ability for us to overcome. We know he can get us there, and we pray that he will. Verses 5 and 6 of Hebrews 2, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? Question. The world to come is not put in subjection to the angels that minister. And that's what Hebrews 1:14 says. The ministering spirit sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So the world to come is not put in subjection to the angels that minister to those who are subject to one another as unto Christ, which is who we are. We are subject to one another as unto Christ. There's no subjectivity. No one is subject to anyone in the world except through the law. And that, of course, is what we acknowledge. There's a law. We still have to obey the laws of the land. That's being subject to Christ. As long as we're not being told to disobey God, we're subject to the laws that the land sets before us. And they're becoming manifold in this age that we're living in. That blessing is first reserved for Christ and his Christ. Christ was that first angel who was subject unto his Father in all things. And you can think of messenger because it is messenger, but it's also angel. And now we are learning through our high priest to be subject unto Christ and his body. We are subject to Christ and his body in all things. And that is being accomplished through the grace and faith that is ministered within the aforementioned signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. And that doesn't mean that we don't minister to one another. Yes, we do. But there's a type and shadow there too. These angels are serving, and everything, every part of God's creation is doing exactly what it's supposed to do. That's God working the light and darkness all according to the counsel of his will. I think we all are in agreement with that. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. And there's the order. For he has put all things under his feet, and this is the end of the order. That's why it's written in that order. Now here's the end of the story, but he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, speaking of God the Father, which did put all things under Christ. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him. That's speaking of God, that put all things under Christ, that God may be all in all. We are as Christ, and blessed and honored and highly favored to receive these gifts today, so that we can be subject unto Christ. We can be under Christ now. The signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, that create the unity in the body of Christ and demonstrate who is that man-child of God. And I really appreciated James' email talking about Mary and the frankincense and gold. And I know Mike did too. When God is mindful of man, he is mindful through the mind of Christ, from whence comes every good and perfect gift from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The gifts given to the child of Matthew 2:11, I mean, when you think about it, what use does a baby have with these gifts? They're of no value to him. But they will be, and that's the point, because he's going to mature and he's going to grow. So they were given to a child, were under the care of Mary and Joseph, which represents the church, Mary, and the leadership of Joseph as the head, and represent, as James recently wrote, the spiritual life that this child of God is going to one day be able to give to the body of Christ. The signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. That's what these represent. It is those three gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh that represent the process of judgment upon our old man and remind us why Mary, who represents the church, was so highly favored to have borne this Savior for our sakes and to have been pierced in her heart, as we all are being, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed through the church that Mary is a type of and that must be judged in this age. So as she's pierced in her heart, she is receiving the frankincense and the myrrh. She's receiving that comfort, that strength, that purification. And all of that is important to remember, because God has not didn't leave Mary alone, and he certainly is not going to leave us alone. He's not going to forsake us. It's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom and to provide for us the strength and the healing that we need along the way. When we are visited of God, in this section of the scripture, that thou visit him, we are being judged of him and healed by his word that is likened unto living waters. Visited of God in this age means being first to be dragged to Christ by the Father and given this thirst for the living waters that spiritually quench us in this age, to the end that we can be sent forth as Christ was to bring those living waters into a world that has no stay of bread or water in it. This world, and we know it, is more and more, it's just there's the fruit of not having that right relationship with Christ is more and more evident, even though, you know, all along it's never been there. But now the Lord is letting it manifest, just as he's letting it manifest more and more in the church, that we're one, that we're growing with the same mind. He's also letting evil men wax worse and worse outwardly. And of course, we have to go through that too. We have to come to see who we are and come to a deep repentance, which God alone can do. He drags us to Christ for that reason. Then we have verses 7 to 9. You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and did set him over the works of your hands. And we can insert our names there if we are suffering with Christ and we're going through something. If we're Peter saying, Lord, I've forsaken everything to follow you. Christ didn't leave him without an answer. There's a reason why we're suffering and going through stuff. And it's important to dwell on the mercy of God in that and understand that he's preparing us to be able to comfort the world. And he goes on to say in Romans that I reckon that the present suffering is not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed. So crowned with glory and being able to have that joy of putting an end to all the suffering in this world, really bringing healing to the nations, which Christ is doing for us inwardly right now. He's healing us. You've put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. This section of Hebrews explains to us how God made his strength perfect through Christ in a weak body of carnal flesh that was subject to all the same pulls of the flesh that you and I are. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain and find grace to help in time of need, because it's there. Christ has gone through that for us, and he knows how to comfort us in every circumstance. Before Christ was crowned with glory and honor, before he did set him over the work of thy hands, in the fullness of that event, which is an unfolding event, He, Christ, by God's decree, was made a little lower than the angels for our sakes, so that he could identify with our lowly position in this same corruptible dying, you shall die flesh. Ultimately, God tells us in these verses of Hebrews 2, verses 7 to 9, that there is a process that Christ and his body have to go through in order to see all things brought into subjection unto him and unto us. Christ is establishing that reality through the church, through the gifts, administrations, and operations spoken of in 1 Corinthians 12, so that the works of thy hands that God the Father has given Christ to rule over as his workmanship can one day be brought into subjection unto God, who will be all in all. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Again, in verse 9, it is repeated. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, to demonstrate this important point that witnesses to us all who Christ is for us today, and how Christ is doing this work within us both to will and to do of our Father's good pleasure, just as it was his good pleasure to do the works that he did in Christ's life when he was on the earth. I'm sure we're familiar with those two verses, John 5:30, which says, I can in my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. And of course, for us, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. The witness is simply this, that with Christ in us as our hope of glory, we can die daily and taste death for every man as Christ himself did. We can abide in the truth, and we can continue to abide in the truth. We are God's workmanship, and it is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom of God, both in the age to come as well as now in earnest, where we have this treasure in earthen vessels, even as we are saved by that hope of glory within us that bears witness within us. And that's what Romans 8:16 says, that the Spirit bears witness that we're sons of God, that God can and will finish what he has started in each and every one of us who was predestined to be his workmanship in this age, all to the glory of our great God, as he accomplishes these things and gives the increase via the gifts, administration, and operations of 1 Corinthians through the church. If we are granted to taste death for every man, as Christ did, by dying daily in this age, it will be by the gift of faith that we read about that God gives us so that we can believe. And through the strength of Christ, who is the author and finisher of that faith, we can endure unto the end all the suffering that is also on behalf of this blessed and holy relationship that we have with our Father, Jesus Christ, and his body. And you just think about all those things, God willing, we can hold that all in our heart and come to see why Paul would have said, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, if you look at it. But that is still reason, knowing that, you know, we fight a good fight of faith, because we know we can't let any man take our crown. We have to go through the fire. We have to abide in the truth. And we know that we must be armed with the mind of Christ to do that. So we don't want to be caught off guard and say, boy, I didn't see that coming. And God willing, we won't. We'll rejoice and we'll learn together to bear each other's burdens. And those fiery trials that we've seen manifest over and over, and just see it as the norm and help each other get through those things. Because that's true discipleship. And that's truly what God is witnessing to the world, that I can get my family through this. I will. He will provide. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. For unto you it is given on in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. And Mike mentioned that in the last study. I love that verse because it says everything. Sure, you believe, but it has to be accompanied with this suffering which causes us to cease from sinning. And that is all of the Lord. Next week, we'll look at these next few verses of this rich section of Hebrews that looks more closely at the captain of our salvation, as Christ is called, who was made perfect through suffering, and how he overcame the devil who had the power of death. and is doing the same thing for us today as the body of Christ. Do you have time to read them? No, I think I won't read them just for the sake of time. And that's our study for tonight. Thank you all for coming out.